Hey everybody, welcome to another segment of Tony's show, and today we're going to be all over the place as per usual. For the show, somebody sent me an article about how the technocrats want to now have their own autonomy, their own country, their own territory, their own governance, where they'll be able to collect taxes and regulate the technocracies just like if they were in a government. They're saying that the current governments that we have are inefficient, inaccurate, and they need something better. Which was predictive programming, and it has been predictive programming for quite some time on television, science fiction shows. The network even talked about it where, I mean, the guys saying ExxonMobil, the telecommunications companies, the major stocks, everything was already, these were already countries back in 1970 when they were talking about this. So I think what we're seeing today is not that they're going to, this is something new. I think this has always been going on. It's just now they're going to make it officially out there. In other words, instead of it being in as a, you know, in the shadows, underground, you know, because in all truth, in Canada, the United States, most of the free world, or the Western world, I shouldn't say free, because there's nothing free in Canada and there's nothing free in America. We pay for everything, and then the government has the audacity saying, well, we're going to give you some money. We're going to give you some. That money's our money anyway. But they come off in such a manner that they're doing us a favor. They're doing us nothing. Just further oppression and bullshit, just as per usual. You know, the one thing that is consistent in the universe, and I will use this consistency. I mean, Einstein said that there's two consistencies in the universe, stupidity in the universe, and he wasn't sure about the universe. And the one consistency as well in this universe is that governments are useless. All they are is dead weight, really. Dead weight. And it's sad to say that it's a true concept. They're just dead weight. They accomplish nothing. They increase bureaucracies. They create bureaucracies, waste money, resources, and time, and then turn around and have the audacity to blame the general population for their incompetence and ineptness. Look at Canada. Canada's a joke. We got parliamentarians are supposed to be, you know, an opposition to keep things balanced, and yet here they are forming a coalition to create laws to further handcuff people. We got some import that's a transgenic reject from a test tube that's trying to tell us what's healthy, and it looks like shit, to be honest with you. We got people in power and positions that have no business being in those positions. They're not even quantified on any level to be doing what they're doing. So when we look at everything that's going on today, and when we look at when governments are catering to businesses and corporations and technocrats to, you know, woo them in for jobs, I think the state is Nevada that's going to be to initiate this, because they're thinking they're going to be bringing Nevada more money, more jobs, blah, blah, blah. But if you make these technocracies or technocrats having their own technocracies and their own towns and cities and whatever, there's no taxes that are going to be collected, not by the corporations anyway, and the amount of people that they're going to have working for them will be probably limited. Especially with AI, augmented learning, and deep learning AI. I mean, I don't see how tech people are going to be there eventually. I can see them slowly becoming extinct as well. When the movie Transcendence, when you watch that movie, it basically is indicating how they're talking about downloading your essence, your core, your DNA, all the memories, everything that is about you into a system so that you are not completely incorporated with artificial intelligence. You are the artificial intelligence. This is the concept of Kurzweil and some of these other ones. not realizing that basically you're no longer in control. The machine has now upgraded you into its program matrix. They haven't figured that out yet. And if they have figured it out yet, they are blowing sunshine up everybody's backside, because there's no way you're going to be able to control a machine that has the capacity to do what it does. You know, if we in this form can only operate at a certain operating speed, you know, which is not shabby by any stretch of the imagination, to operate at over 400,000 computations per nanosecond, that is pretty awesome technology when you sit there and think about it, if you look at it from a technological perspective. But when you're looking at, you know, an AI network that's operating at 50 million computations per quantisecond, there's no comparison. So basically, it would be equating the latest computer that you can buy on the market to a 286. That's about how you would equate it. For those of you who remember what a 286 computer was like, you know, that would move so slow it looked like it was going backwards, you know. I remember the 286. Jeez, man, am I showing my age? A 286 computer? Wow, that was in the 90s, you know. Gone. You know, I remember the times when I was in my courses, they were saying, you'll never need more than 16 megabytes of memory. I just had to dump 80 gigs onto my computer just so that my computer would operate more efficiently. You know, and that's a terabyte drive I've got, you know. So, that's how full my system is. They never could conceive that we would be using this much resources in a computer to, you know, operate and make these things function the way they do. And the programs are doing today, and what they can be doing, just a basic computer, or Windows 8 or Windows 10, whatever. When you look, even the Windows 7, you look at a Windows 7 or an XP and what it can do. I mean, compared to way back in the day, you know, that would be about the equivalency of an AI system to, you know, you can compare an AI system to a 286. That's how far apart they are. So when we're talking technocracies in a country, these are going to be the new lords and serfs that we're seeing. These high-paying tech jobs will eventually be nothing more than equivalent to what a janitor's job is today, if they even exist, you know, in the future. You're going to be completely autonomous. You're going to be basically your own corporation. You're not going to be working, per se, for the company. You will be contracted to the company. This is where this is all going, and it's all going to be done through, again, everything will be digitized. So if we even get that far, you know, I'm not that optimistic, to be quite honest with you, that what they've told us about our future and what they've been showing us about our future, that we're even going to get there. I look at the way things are today, the level of corruption that's going on. I mean, when we're looking at murdering propagandists that are walking around making statements and claims that they're, you know, proposing 10 million people die, and I think that's the average that they're looking to wipe out is 10 million, maybe a year, maybe a month, I'm not sure. But when you got this type of mentality running around, and they're determining who lives and who dies, you know, it's outrageous in my mind that they're even walking free. But see, that when you see stuff like that, when I see Bill Gates and Soros and I see Zuckerberg, and Bezos doing what they're doing, controlling the media, controlling free speech, controlling everything that's out there according to their paradigm, their narrative, and they're able to actually get away with it, that's already indicating that they have more power than the current governments have right now in today's time. That's what that's telling you. If you're really paying attention in regarding to what is really happening there? How does Bill Gates, an inept entrepreneur who created a computer company that basically he didn't really create, he stole whatever, has not made a platform yet that works properly, is now working in a genetic capacity? This is, to me, like, are you kidding me? This guy couldn't even write code properly, much less now he's dealing with DNA. This is a time bomb waiting to happen. I was listening to a guy talking today, and he was interviewing Bill Gates. And Bill Gates made a comment that there were two things to be concerned about. One was a terrorist that may come out of the blue and start a plague. And I thought, that's already happened. It's called, his name is Bill Silly Billy. He's already come out and started this. You know, you got a conglomeration of different corporates, governments, agencies, and whatnot have already done this. Now they have released something in the air called stupidity. This virus has conquered a lot of people already. It's a contagious virus called stupidity, because people have become so stupid and inept. To a point where, like I said, they can't even read on the fourth grade level anymore. They're down to a first grade level. And when you got a people this stupid, it's not hard to convince them of fairy tales and bullshit. And it almost seems like people really want to believe in the fairy tales and bullshit. They don't want to deal with any kind of reality. This astounds me. They would rather live in a fantasy, enslaved by the fantasy that they're involved with, rather than be free people. This is astonishing to me. I had never wanted to be tethered or chained down by anything. I have fought that all my life. I did slip up once, and I did get married, but then I rectified that. I'm a free man again. You know, I can hear it now. They're not all bad. But the point I'm trying to get is, I never liked being tethered. Not to anything, unless I decide I wanted to affiliate myself with whoever or whatever. Then that was different, because that was my choice. Well, assuming that was my choice and why I wasn't being programmed. Like I said, when you reflect back and you start looking at some of the decisions that you made in your life, you begin to start to wonder how much of that was really you. And how much of that was programming? You know, how much of it, I mean, when you look at everything in your life, everything, I don't care how old you are or how young you are, when you look at everything that you're doing, the decisions you're making, the choices you're deciding on, the direction you're moving into, all that came from being propagandized. You know, the program was running, still running. And when you get on the program and you start acting on that program, boy, I'll tell you something. When there's a fall down, it's really tough to get up because of what I call the inertial weight of momentum that people create. People don't realize that when you're setting a goal and you're pursuing that goal and you're living your life on that premise that you're pursuing that goal, and you get it going, you know, first it's very slowly to get stuff, but once it gets going, it starts building inertia. In and of itself, it can keep on pushing you or pulling forces at each other to get you to that destination. And when you are on the wrong track there, if you will, and you're trying to change the track, the inertial forces can keep pushing you in the direction you were going into, and it's very difficult to express that any other way. So when you're going trying to go back up the hill, you can't go straight up the hill because you're meeting the inertial forces head on that you've created. So that momentum, that inertia. So you have to sort of like walk sideways up a hill just in order to deflect the inertia until you get to a certain point. That's why it's so hard to start over when you do have a major catastrophe that may hit you. You got divorced, somebody died, you lost a position, you lost major money, you're losing your house, you lost your car, family members are sick. Whatever the situation may be, whatever tornado, storm, whatever you're dealing with in your life, this is, again, can create the setbacks that would knock you back to ground zero. You're back to zero point. So when you try to start up again, the inertial forces that you had engaged in and had created is now working against you. So, and when you wake up to that reality, that's when you begin to realize, wow, I have to do something completely different, because the forces that are there are almost immovable. So you come up with different ideas and you create a new inertia and a new momentum, you know. And again, it's the same thing. Usually the second time round, though, you don't make the same mistakes you did the first time round. You know, you make sure you have more clarity, because the first time when you go after something and you're doing something, you really don't know what you're doing. You just know you have to do it. You got to work at it. You go after it. And then when you get to a certain point and you reach that climax, that goal, you've achieved it. Now, if you lose it afterwards and you try to start that again, it seems like there's an operating system in the planet that will not allow you to do that, because you've already done it. And this is my thinking on a speculative way. God wants us to grow, and so once we have reached a point where you've achieved whatever it is you're looking at, and all of a sudden you lose it and you try to go after that again, it seems like God won't allow you to do that because you've already done it. And it seems like there's this theme, this pressure, this force to start you to reinitiate your brain again and start coming up with a new concept for you to go after, or to wake you up on the reality that what you were going after, yes, gave you success, but would have entrapped you in the long run. You know, there's a lot that goes on in what I'd call the godly realm. Like I said, I hate using the word spiritual. I really think that's just everybody does it. You know, everyone uses the word spiritual. It slips out of me, but I really don't like using the word spiritual because I think it's been just beat to death. Anyway, when we're looking at the godly program, I guess that's the best way, or the godly realm, everything is designed to create us, to give us that level of evolution that we're supposed to get to, but we keep getting blindsided and redirected and misdirected all the time while we're here, until you get to a certain point. I believe that's when you get to that point where you hit the reset button and you begin to realize, wow, I can't do this anymore. Number one, I don't think I could have ever sustained it any for any length of time. And number two, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Because you look at things in a complete different paradigm. And you're looking at now, when you get to a certain point, you know, you're no longer chasing pleasure. You're no longer chasing vanity. You're no longer chasing things that cause your strength to become diminished at a rapid rate. Now you're looking at things on a different level, looking at financial security, you're looking at evolving, you're looking at changes again in a whole different light. You look at basically a lot of times you start looking at cutting out of your life things that are entangling you. And that's a real important process, to be honest with you, that getting rid of those entanglements, because a lot of those entanglements impact your health as well. See, the nano is all about us. I had a guy call me today and he wanted to talk about different things, so I spent a little time with him. And he asked me a bunch of questions. And I had to explain to him a lot of different things about nano, I had to explain a lot of different things about these doctors are talking, some of the stuff that we're talking, have been talking, that it's becoming popular in some realms. But I said, if they're not dealing with the nanobiotech in the food supply today, then they're not really dealing with the real issues that are causing all the health problems, all the mental problems, all the respiratory problems, all the autoimmune disorders, all the sexual malfunctionings, all the digestive malfunctionings, all the joint breakdowns, all the skeletal structures being shrunk, all the tissue being damaged, the organs wearing out. If they're not dealing with that aspect of it, and all they're trying to do is make you change your diet, the changing the diet is still going to load up the body with some kind of nano load up. That's an inevitability. Whether you eat whatever you eat, the whole food supply has been screwed. Why do you think they want you to eat bugs? Why do you think they want you to eat crickets and mealyworms and whatever else, and cockroaches? I was going to do a meme, you know. Well, we have a cricket shortage today, but today's special will be cockroach over easy with barbecue sauce. Come on down, have a dinner, have a meal. It's on us. Because they want to take away your right, from you to eat meat. Eventually, you're going to see a steak going to cost you a couple $100s, if not a couple $1,000s for a steak. And they're going to force the general population to literally eat shit. The one thing I notice about the dietary perspectives that they want everybody in the world to eat is there's a lot of cultures that will not eat a lot of these foods, and their faith and their beliefs, based on what they've been told or read, a lot of foods they're trying to propagate are unclean foods. A cricket isn't so much an unclean food. Grasshopper, because grasshoppers and crickets were allowed to be consumed even in the Old Testament. It's one of those things like, you know what, there's no meat, there's no goat, there's no chicken, there's no duck, there's no, you know, game bird, there's no lamb. All that's left is grasshoppers. Well, you know, because they ate grasses. They weren't bottom feeders. They weren't eating. They weren't cleaning up the ecosystem. You know, God warned the people not to eat certain foods because a lot of those foods were, animals were scavengers, and they were scavenging the refuse, whatever it may have been, under the land, sea, or air. So he allowed them to eat fish. He allowed them to eat anything that had gills and scales. He allowed anything that had, you know, he allowed most poultry. He wouldn't allow you to eat a raven. He wouldn't allow you to eat an eagle because these animals were again, scavengers, you know. So there were foods that God ordained that was clean and foods that weren't. And there was reasons behind them when you start looking at some detail about, you know, what these animals ate. Because basically most of the animals that God allowed to be consumed ate grass for the most part. So when we're looking at a lot of stuff today and what they're doing and what they're driving at, you know, we are already in pestilence. You know, there's the four horsemen in the Bible. One of them was called pestilence. And we're in that now. Fake or otherwise, this is what they're propagating. And I'm beginning to wonder, when John saw the four horsemen, was he watching a program? Was he watching an operating system coming into play? Was he watching something, you know, being manifested because of what was being organized in that time? When you read the God, you know, when you read that again, when you read Revelations again, if you ever read it with what you're seeing today. Read it with the idea that perhaps he was seeing the corruption in the system had become so bad, and describing these corrupt elements in the system, and then pointing out, in whether it be figuratively or straight out, some of the things that he saw and the things that he, his perception of what he saw. It's, like I said, we're looking at the four horsemen. I believe you have, first you have pestilence, then you have hunger, then you have war, then you have death. And that all works the same, that all works to that point, because if you got pestilence, people start to die. Now you have a pandemic all over the place. Then you had the food supply. All of a sudden, Bill Gates is buying all the farmland. He's bought the half of CN Railroad. Can you imagine that? He bought half of CN Railroad? The guy is going to control what you eat one way or another. And based on Kissinger's comments, you're nothing but useless eaters anyway. So as far as they're concerned, you're nothing but a goyim. And you better understand that, what that means as well. It has nothing to do with being Hebrew. It's a term that is really describes what they think about you. You're nothing more than something to be used as they see fit, and they will feed you whatever shit they want to feed you, and you'll be grateful that they gave you shit to eat. That's how they see it. They want to be in that type of an authority where they will be able to dictate whatever policies they want to dictate, and you will accept those policies or suffer the dire consequences. That's what China's done. China's done. No, I mean, China's system is pretty evil. But so is the American one. So is the Canadian one. So is, I mean, the capitalists and the communists, they're no different. The method and the way they cause problems for people, they go about it in a different route, that's all. Capitalism goes to the left or right, and communism goes to the left or right, depending on which one the other one goes. No difference. One takes everything from you and controls you that way. The other one takes everything from you in a different way by taxation and minimizing your capacity to have the full effect of your buying power, and now they're going to take that away from you as well. They don't want you to have any power whatsoever in regarding to money and money to running into cash flow, whatever. They want to be able to control what you spend, where you spend it, and how you spend it. Excuse me, they don't care, you know. And in some communities I've seen, where they have social assistance. When you go shopping, some places have stores specifically designated for people on social assistance. So they can go, okay, in the States, they go in there with their food stamps or whatever, so they can buy what they need with those food stamps. Now, in Canada, basically, they give you money twice a month. One is a small HST check. That's just enough to get you to go to a dollar store, buy all kinds of shit you don't need, or to go buy your tobacco and your alcohol to get you till the end of the month. And then when you go and get stuff at the end of the month, by the time you pay your rent and buy your groceries, there's nothing left. Maybe enough to buy a six-pack of beer and maybe some smokes. That's it. So you're always under control. You're always under the gun. And since you can't afford to live on a welfare system, they put you in these special housing places where you don't pay the full amount like you would anywhere else. So it's the reality of life and the way it really is and how it's being depicted. It's all bullshit, all of it. And when you look at it, like I said, I was looking at that Four Horsemen thing, and I thought, well, it's begun. It has begun. It has been engaged. You know, whether it's fake or real, in my humblest opinion, the whole damn thing is fake. It's been bullshit from day one. And Bill Gates is talking this horseshit about we need to be more prepared. You can't be prepared for any kind of viral assault, especially when you don't know what lab is going to release what virus. The thing is, if they are just releasing these viruses out of the lab, which is what they're doing, and they're not even viruses, I should call them what they really are. Programmed proteins that cause mayhem in the body. And once those programmed proteins are ready to be expelled, they got you recycling this crap with a mask. This is astounding. This is so astounding. You know, like I said in the other show, nothing is making sense. The masks are not, they don't work. Fauci wants you to wear four frickin' masks. I mean, tell him I don't know how Americans haven't told him to shove them up his arse sideways. But when you're looking at this guy, I don't know how anybody can believe him. I have no idea how anybody can believe Fauci. The guy flip-flops like a fish on dry land. One minute he's saying the masks aren't any good, and the next minute he's saying you got to wear four of them. I mean, what credibility does this goofball have? He's a goof. And he runs around like a little leprechaun saying, oh yeah, you got to wear a mask. They're useless. No, you don't need them. No, you need to wear four now. You need to wear five masks just to make sure. Like I said, how can you believe this guy? Total asswipe. He's probably the biggest ass kisser in the whole assembly there, you know. So like I said, when we're looking at some of the stuff that we're seeing, we need to really smarten up and pay attention. They lie and they'll tell you whatever shit you want to hear. Now, in Windsor, Ontario is supposed to be reopening stuff this week coming up. You watch. This is such a pile of rubbish. The whole thing is torture. Because most people don't have enough brains in their head to tie their shoe with Velcro. So they, we're going back to normal. We're going back to normal. Ooh, ah, ee. One of those orgasmically organic moments. Oh, you know, we're going back to normal. And then after a couple of weeks, after they get the kids in school, oh no, the numbers went up. We're going to have to lock it down again and again and again. The reason why they're locking everybody down again and they're doing this over and over and over and over is because they're killing the businesses in increments. I was at a Canadian Tire store today. I had to go pick up an order. And the way they do it here now, because we're in lockdown, you have to call up the Canadian Tire, pay for the product, and then go pick it up. So I did. I went there, you know, and I went to this one Canadian Tire, and I'm looking around me, and it dawned on me while I was standing outside, freezing everything, that the parking lot was empty. We're talking a huge plaza here. You have a grocery store chain, a bank, a dollar store, a drug store, and Canadian Tire. This place is usually packed. And I looked at the streets. People driving down the road. Nobody on the road. I came from central part of the town and drove all the way to the west side. And I think maybe there were four cars on the road at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That usually is bumper to bumper for heavy traffic. Nobody there. And then I was in this parking lot looking around me and saying, wow, nobody's here. Nobody's here. People walking outside, obviously with a stupid mask on, you know, but other than that, nobody was in the parking lot. And then it dawned on me again. What I'm seeing here may be a vision of what's to come. See, I've been saying we're going to see about 30% of the people die by mid-June. My timetable might be off, but it's bound to happen. These people have been wearing a mask for over a year, but by that time, it'll be about a year and a half. They're going to start dropping dead. Corona, the new strain of Corona. Oh, we got another strain. This is why these people are dying. Oh my gosh, we're going to have to lock you down again. We're going to have to shut everything down. Oh, this is a disaster. And what happens is, if everybody had been out, if this was real, if this really was real, half the city of Windsor would already be dead by this pandemic. The other half would survive. Their immune systems would compensate and kick in. So I'm not sure why they just didn't allow this, because see, they do want to kill off people. Somebody asked me, I was on the Liberty Network, and Odessa asked me what my take was on this. I said, well, you got the Georgia Guidestones saying 500 million, and you got the Protocols Design saying 600 million. So when you read this, you know that there's some kind of game plan to get the population down to a low level. So now I'm thinking, you know, I'm looking around me, I'm thinking, you know what? By this time, this summer, we're probably going to see these parking lots even emptier because a lot more people have died. Because see, every time they do this bullshit, well, oh, it's time we can open up again. Ooh, ah, ee. And you go out again. Your immune system's already been weakened just by wearing the stupid mask and following their ridiculous protocols. Even Fauci said that the Spanish flu did not kill the people, but the mask. And then he flip-flopped on that, too. I mean, I don't know how anybody can believe the bullshit this guy spews out of his mouth, but people do. So, looking at all the things that we're seeing going on, nothing is what it appears to be. Don't believe anything you see. Don't believe anything you hear until you can substantiate it or validate it. Only way you should be listening to anything. Because like I said, when we're looking at the quagmire we're in today and the nonsense of this fairy tale, you know, it, as it says biblically, you know, I keep saying it, but you know, it's so, it keeps ringing true every time I say it. My people perish for lack of wisdom. These people are going to be wiped out. They're going to tell them that the antidote is over that cliff. All you got to do is walk over the cliff and you'll get your antidote. You know what? They'll do it. They won't see nothing but a bunch of rocks and cliffs and whatever, yet they'll still jump. And this is really unfortunate because this is what we're going to see, a jump. A jumping to their death. It's just absurd. The idea is so absurd. So when you're looking at that cliff, you see people jumping over. The interesting thing about that cliff is that people will have bought into the illusion rather than reality. And when you see people acting the way that you do today, it just goes to show you how much of the program has been induced in people into following a illusion. We have been taught all our lives. We've been taught all our lives, you know, God, King, and Country. Even with God, we've been told, you know, a lot of bullshit about God. I never understood when I read the Bible, for instance, the Bible says God is not, you know, God doesn't, not a God of chaos. God doesn't fight God. He says a house divided against itself does not stand. So you won't see God fighting God, yet we got religions all over the world killing each other. So that indicates to me that God is not religion. But the illusion of religion and the illusion of this how to conduct yourself in whatever faith or religion you're in, that illusion alone is enough to get you to go over a cliff. We're always taught to be on the political edge, you know, being conservative, being liberal, being moderate, being excessive, whatever. And yet, here we are in the world completely on the verge of total collapse because a handful of people, a select few, have created the mayhem that exists today. The vaccines that we're talking about are not even vaccines, yet the illusion of a vaccine is being propagated to the general population. That's not a vaccine. That's a bioterror weapon. But they have people believing that that program, that operating system, is going to save them and protect them. And yet... when you read the literature, you're still going to have to wear a mask. This is a form of satanic worship on the deepest and darkest level. You're going to have to, you know, still social distance. You're still going to have to wear a diaper on your face. See, this is the normal. We're not going back to anything. This is the normal. What they have conditioned people to believe and to accept as this limited time ordeal is the normal today. They, by the time they tell them, you can take the mask off, these people will not take it off. They will have been convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt, with the fear in their hearts, and it will stay there. As a Russian study indicated, if you put fear in the people's hearts for 2 straight months and you barrage them with fear and you barrage them with fear, they will not surrender that fear. You can show them every bit of evidence there is and they will not bend. In fact, they'll think you're the crazy one for not protecting yourself. So we were talking about this on the Liberty Network there, you know, why some of us just don't fall for this stuff. As I said, some of us have just grown up hardcore, and we just don't buy into any bullshit because, again, you already are in a reality check. The illusion that you have living in ghettos and things, it's a different type of illusion, but nonetheless, it's still an illusion, but you develop a certain traits and skills, traits and methods, defense mechanisms that will not allow you to be taken that easy. You know, so, and I'm not saying because you have an advantage being in the ghetto. You don't. Ghettos have problems the same as anybody else, except they're just different problems. That's all. You know, the fear of violence, the fear of dying, the fear of not having enough, the fear of just, you know, being choked out, not having an opportunity to live. I mean, there's all kinds of fears and anxieties there as well. It's not every day you see bullets flying by you. Whoa, wow, I missed that one. That kind of thing. So, the bullet flying by today is affecting everybody. And I'm not talking about a high-velocity moving projectile moving 4,000 feet per second. I'm talking about the bullet coming out of the television, the bullet coming out of radio, the bullet coming out of your iPads, the bullet coming out of your cell phone. That's the real bullet. Frequencies is altering your mind. So when we're looking at what's going on today in regarding to jumping off a cliff, when I was at the shopping plaza and I was seeing that today, like I said, it was like an ominous feeling came over me, and I looked around me and thought, holy shit, this is what's going to be like here. People are going to be dead and gone. It's not going to be that they're not coming shopping anymore. They're not going to be here anymore. Now, this is a real quagmire we're in. And like I said, I can even see neighborhoods in Canada that was never before, how would you put it, even conceived, winding up being like an American ghetto or worse, gone completely wiped, torn down, destroyed, removed, just like they're doing in Palestine right now with the Zionists over there assaulting the Palestinians. Have you seen that movie Gemini? It's horrific what's going on there. But that is a forecoming or a prelude to what's going to come in America and Canada. You know, people get all hung up when, you know, you say something about the Israelites or about the Hebrews. But you know what? They're not a flawless people. And the people there are just as stupid as the people are in America or Canada. They've got them so dumbed down, though. Right? And I talked to a buddy of mine over there. He tells me this. He says, they are so stupid over here. I don't know who's worse, the Hebrews in Israel, the Canadians in Canada, that have fallen for the rhetoric of the governments. Canadians are gung-ho G.I. Joe when it comes to the government, so are the Hebrews in Israel. I mean, they just eat, they're like turkeys. And they're fed a lot, or sorry, not like turkeys, well, that too, you know, they shit and the government shits and the people gobble. I mean, it's incredible what I see there, and not just there, but everywhere. No, that was a crude analogy, but they get the point. You know, the government gives you all kinds of shit, and people just gobble it up, blah, 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 and never question nothing. This is what astounds me the most. I somehow wound up on this planet. I think I made the left wrong turn at Albuquerque, like the Bugs Bunny cartoon. I made the wrong turn at Albuquerque. Where the hell am I? You know, how did I get here? I got friends of mine, we get into discussions sometimes and we're talking about different things. And some of them bring up some stuff, and I look at it and shake my head. Why am I here? Why am I here? What am I here for? You know, it's like I said, you're just I'm dumbfounded most of the time. I think I'm the dumb one, really, because I just don't get it sometimes. I look at it and go, really? Wow. Anyway, it's amazing. It's just amazing. Look around you. Look at the people that you see on a daily basis. By, like I said, midsummer, I think we're going to see a lot of them disappear. I really do. I think we're going to see a lot of them just disappear. The illusion will kill them. You know, if you watch The Matrix, you know, the Neo goes into The Matrix for the first time with Morpheus, and they're doing all kinds of stuff, and they're downloading all kinds of stuff in this guy's head, right? He's a machine, you know, he's completely integrated with the AI network that they had there. Anyway, so now they're doing all kinds of stuff. Then there's the final test where you have to leap from one building to the next. And so Neo doesn't make it. He hits the ground. Yeah. And he gets up spitting blood. So when they bring him back to the reality, whatever that might be, he's in pain and he's spitting blood. He says, well, he says, if you die there, if the mind dies, so does the body. So he learned a valuable lesson not to get killed in the Matrix. But point I'm making here is, even though that was a hologram, even though that was an illusion, he believed that he was in that hologram to a point that when he made that leap and hit the ground, he spat blood. And he did that in the real realm. The point is, the illusion was so real that it almost killed him. The illusion isn't so real that it's almost going to kill these people. The illusion is so real that it is going to kill them. They won't have to fire a shot. This was the most ultimate mind effery I've ever seen. You know, and I was polite on that one. Mind effery I've ever seen. They have convinced the planet to commit suicide. What they've done. they got the planet to commit suicide. All on an illusion. And one of the shows I'm coming up with, there was another Chinese scientist in China saying that there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever. Again, validation of whatever's already been said. See, if you sit there and think about the illusion, the PCR test doesn't work, yet they're trying to get you to take a PCR test. They got you wearing a diaper on your face. That doesn't work either. But they got you believing, most people believing, that that diaper is going to stop a virus. Like, are you effing kidding me? And then they got people wearing the hand condoms. Like, this, like, you know, oh, my hands, we can have safe sex now. We can shake hands. Ooh, that kind of thing. It's insanity. Insanity. Oh, they don't have the hand. Now, go squirt some shit on your hands. You dry out the protective barrier around your hands just so you can wear a little alcohol. Hell, drink the alcohol. Don't wear it. You know, if you're going to do anything with it. It's like I said, absurdity. But this is the illusion that they've got everybody accepting as some kind of reality check. You know, and like I said, that illusion will kill them all. You won't have to fire a shot. You won't have to fire a bomb. You don't have to drop a nuke. You don't have to disengage a city's power grid. You just have them walk off a cliff for you. And that's exactly what they're going to do. It's exactly what they're going to do. This is the Hunger Games. You know, this is the Hunger Games coming down the pipe. This, I really do think this is the Four Horsemen scenario going on. John saw the enactment of the program that they were inducing with the four different things that I mentioned, you know, pestilence, hunger, war, and death. You know, this is where it's going. If you follow the pattern, if you connect the dots, This just what Revelation said there is going to happen. They've already started the pestilence, this fake bullshit, and they got everybody believing there's a pestilence out there, and now they're killing people with these programs that they're injecting into them. These are programs and operating systems that are wiping people out, and they're spreading the pestilence. They're spreading the pathology, the program pathology, to disengage people's DNA. This is, like I said, this is so hideous when you think about it. And once the pestilence has got it taken hold, and you don't have enough people to work the fields, and then you have the farm, the food that is being harvested is being locked down by a despotic demon. You know, you're going to see people starve to death. You know, and if he's buying all the land and you're out there hunting and you kill something on his land, it's technically his, and then you're subjected to a fine. Remember the story of Robin Hood? A guy was hungry, went and shot a deer, was on, you know, royal land, and he had to, you know, a war between him and the sheriff of the area began because they tried to arrest him for killing a deer. Land does not belong to anybody, really. I don't understand something. This is something I never figured out. If God made the planet like we believe he did in the Bible, then the planet belongs to the Almighty. So all these deeds and entitlements that they have created, basically, I wonder how much they paid God for the planet. You know, makes you wonder, did God sell out? Because apparently they think this place is theirs. But anyway, the point I'm making there is, if the food supply chain is now controlled by a despotic demon, Silly Billy, then, and he's talking about 10 million, tens of millions of people dying, that would be the next thing. And once you get people starving, the next thing they're going to do now is they're going to fight. They will fight. And now, because they're hungry. And when a person's hungry, they become desperate. And when they become desperate, they become violent. And they know this. So what will happen now is they will set wars. And they'll wipe each other out in the war, blaming the other persons for the woes on their countryside. China is going to get blamed harder than it's ever been blamed. And Israel may get blamed. Germany may get blamed. France may get blamed. Italy may get blamed. The United States is definitely going to get blamed. Russia is going to get blamed. And there'll be all this blame going around. And next thing you know, there'll be some kind of war contingency, which will further bring down the population. So like I said, it's following the program that the Revelations has said about the four horsemen. You know, at the end of it all, what you got is death. Death. So here we are. Get ready for death. How do you get ready for death? By taking your anti-death pill. Somebody's saying, what the heck are you talking about? Anti-death pill. Well, see, if people are believing the illusion to a point where they'll jump off a cliff, then you need to take the right medicine and not allow yourself to be sucked into that black hole. And you got to remember, these people are going to be taking a program. They will be injected with a program that's going to have over 10 to 56 billion different pathologies within the operating system that they're going to use to transport that information into a person. So when you're looking at that, you need to start looking at how you're going to defend yourself, because whatever that sequence of programming tells the DNA to do, it will start manufacturing maybe more than one issue. So you need to be aware of that. You need to be how to get prepared. Start using vitamin A. Protect your lungs. If you're a smoker, quit. You know, Because you can't take vitamin A if you're smoking, but you can take vitamin E, you can take sulfur, you can take vitamin C, you can take grapefruit seed extract. You can take certain herbs like, astragalus, that's the one herb you can take, some kind of ginseng, rhodiola, marrow root, anything that has adaptogenic properties, you may want to start considering using these things. Definitely maintain vitamin C, zinc chloride, copper chloride, cobalt chloride, manganese chloride, magnesium chloride, calcium chloride, potassium chloride. Make sure you maintain all the minerals in the chloride form. Chlorides are very key in keeping the immune system clean and unattainable for some of these things that may come out. Now you got to remember, whatever they're injecting, whatever they're downloading, it has a program. These are some ideas to get you ready. You know, make sure your sulfur levels are high. Make sure your fermented dairies or fermented foods are high. Make sure the probiotic levels are high or adequate. Eat a lot of fermented foods as well so that you can sustain and maintain your health and not get caught up in the illusion, you know, that they're getting caught up with. Your brain is functioning, you'll see things correctly sooner or later. If it's caught up in the drama class that they're showing on television, then once that happens, you'll keep on going. Just so you let you know. Alrighty. We're at the end of the show here. I'm going to always talk about the end of the show. Start reading the Gospels. Find out what Jesus had to say. I encourage everybody to read the Gospels for your own good. If you don't, whether you believe in Jesus or not, that will be your decision. That simple. And, you know, but before you make a decision, yay or nay, read what he said. Then you can make a better decision based on what you read and you understand. That's how I always put it. That's how I let it roll. This way, nobody can influence you. Nobody can say they forced you. You choose. But at least learn, read what he had to say. On the site itself, there are a lot of people there that are trying to help and do what they can. And it's becoming more challenging these days to get information out because of the powers that be that are trying to limit access to real facts. So, you know, check out the site. Look at all the guys and gals that are there. You got Brian396. You got Ty out west. You got Yanni in Europe. You got me in Canada, Central Canada. You got Deanna in Chicago area, the Midwest. You got Sherry down at Three Hearts. You got Fiona out west. Everyone is out there doing something to try to get you to become more aware, learned, and prepared for what's coming down the pipe. Share if you can help financially, do so. If you can't, don't worry about it. Share the data, share the information with everybody you know. The life you save may be not only yours, but maybe a neighbor. Just think about that. And as per usual, at the end of the show, I always say we are still here by the grace of God. Remember that we are only here by his grace. So until the next segment, to your health, take care.